John Busby with the Culture Buzz, and we are going to have fun in this conversation. If you turn back the wheels of time a couple of months, you will recall a great conversation I had with Robin Stevens-Pays. She is an author, and more than an author, she is a champion for STEM, especially in the area of getting young women involved with science, technology, engineering, and math. And so my wheels got to spinning because I have a very good friend, Joe Benish, who quite honestly and rightfully so is proud of his daughter, Kylie. And so I passed my books of Robin's along to Kylie because that's kind of the demographic. And Kylie and I will tell you before we start sharing the conversation with you folks, have had a great conversation here and found out that we have an awful lot of crossed paths from here in the greater Des Moines community, which is fun. But the real joy is when we bring Robin Stevens-Pays into the conversation. She's got a website that I will direct you folks to several times. It's called edgeofyesterday.com. And I want you to go there because these books are especially for, well, I'll let the conversation dictate who it is. I'm not going to try to shove the conversation in one direction. But Robin is just a fascinating person. She's delightful. She is energized. And she is committed to making things happen in her area. And she's doing it through some creative writing. And I'm going to let it just kind of hang there for a moment. And Robin, I'm going to let you kind of, I'm going to sit here and just be more of kind of like the audience watching what unfolds, because I really want you to get Kylie's insights. Kylie's read the books and she's smiling right now. I love that. And tell about what motivated you to write Edge of Yesterday and now Da Vinci's Way, which is part of the Edge of Yesterday series, and what has just appealed to Kylie so much. So, Robin, I'm tossing it into your court.
Oh, thanks, John. So you asked the million-dollar question, what got me involved in this, and part of it has to do with the fact that I'm a mom, and I raised three teens, and teens are the demographic I'm especially focused on with Edge of Yesterday. I think that teens, I do a lot of science writing, especially neuroscience, and I'm kind of like my geekiness comes out in the specialty of teen brains. I've done a lot of work on adolescent neuroscience, a lot of writing on those subjects. So I've always found teens fascinating and a little bit trying, maybe a little challenging when my kids were teens.
No.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Truth comes out. Now they're adults and they're delightful people, but it's really like they enter kind of this alien territory when they reach about, I don't know, 11 or 12 these days until they come out the other side. And there are reasons for that in the brain, but I was really interested because I was that soccer mom driving my kids to soccer and band and their friends all over with the carpool. And I was listening in on their backseat conversations, and they would talk about all the things that they, you know, who they hated this week or what teacher was so mean and things like that. But they also talked about the fact that they wanted to do everything. You know, they wanted to be, sure, star soccer players, but they also wanted to be diplomats or dentists, and they also wanted to play in a jazz band. And the question really came up for me, Could they be all those things? Because in our society, we make kids specialize very young. And so maybe one of the questions for you, Kylie, because you and I would love to get to know you a little better, what do you like to do and what are you passionate about?
Well, I like to think I'm involved a lot at school. I'm in a band and orchestra, and I'm starting to get a little bit more involved in the theater department, which I think is really fun. I play tennis, and I'm not sure. I really like just the general school aspect of things. I like to read. I like to write. I think that would really be my favorite thing to do.
So that's a lot right there. So Kylie, I think you're kind of typical of the teens that I have in mind when I'm writing the books in the Edge of Yesterday series, because there, you have so many interests, and they kind of cross the board. And the pressure is on from a very young age. I don't know if I'm sure your parents have never done this or your teachers, but you know, we want kids to specialize really early to get into the right high school or the right college, and you know, the right major in college and that kind of thing. Have you ever felt pressures like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just general pressures. I think that's something that has become more socially like typical. And yeah, like you said, like everyone is kind of taught to not learn about everything, like not to be the jack of all trades and just to master one certain thing, which I think can be a good thing in some cases, but it's also a, like in your book, I think that it's really interesting that you make Charlie kind of mirror Da Vinci and that she's kind of a jack of all trades herself, and I think that's really cool.
Well, take a moment there, Robin. That's a good way. Let's introduce people to the character you created, which kind of is your portal to letting the imagination run loose, to let the world be kind of a sampler situation rather than one taste only.
Yeah, so the hero of this story is Charlie Morton. Charlie is a girl. And she loves to do lots of things, and she kind of wants to do everything. So Charlie plays violin. Her mom's a concert violinist with the National Symphony Orchestra here in Washington, where I live, in the Washington area. And her dad's more of a techie. He's more of a tech guy and scientist, but he also coaches her soccer team, so he wants her to be a star soccer player and get a college scholarship, and the mom wants her to play the violin more, but Charlie loves all of those things and really much, much more, and she's very curious. She's also kind of an inventor. For the middle school science fair, she finds what she thinks are Leonardo da Vinci's plans for a time machine, and she's going to make it because she has science and technology that Leonardo in the 15th century didn't, like the iPad and scientific knowledge that far exceeds what we knew in the 15th century when science really wasn't even a thing, like the Higgs boson and you know, quantum physics that she thinks would make time travel possible. And so how else is she going to find out if she can do everything she has in mind, you know, sort of like be everyone, everything she wants to be, better than by interviewing Leonardo da Vinci himself, who, after all, was the epitome of the Renaissance man?
I find that fascinating. Now, you know, one thing that Kylie shared with me before you joined the conversation, we started sharing with people, is that I mentioned that my daughter is using her filmmaking at the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital to create videos of interviews and tell stories, but stories based in science and medicine. And that's when Kylie said, you know, I really am fascinated by surgery and medicine. And so now let's draw some, you know, connect some dots there, because one of the premises that I always operate is that creativity is the capital of the 21st century. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, compartmentalized into creativity in math or in finances or in science or in music or in theater. It can cross boundaries. And I got that impression from Kylie, and we're just starting to get to know each other. But all of a sudden, she's going from orchestra, band, and theater into surgery. And I love that connection.
Yeah. Well, I do a lot of health communications writing, too. So I know what you're talking about, Kylie, and how you can get from one place to another without batting an eyelid, although most people would see those as really different kinds of fields of interest. How do you connect the dots? What's your story?
Well, I think it's just personally, kind of important to get a taste of everything, especially when I'm in high school and like going into college. I think it's important to get a taste of everything while I can, because when I'm an adult and when I'm in like choosing a career path, it'll be less easy for me to pick and choose. And whereas now I can do it and like all at school, and I can get everything I want to get done in just like one day in small snippets. So it's yeah, I want to do it now before I can't do it anymore.
Let's tie some of that, Kylie, into the book and the concept. When you've read that moment when the hero of the book, Charlie, finally met her hero, Da Vinci, what were your thoughts?
I thought that that was really cool because she not only just admires him, but kind of, like I said, mirrors him in that she also is an artist and is a musician, and like it just kind of validates for her that she can do everything that she puts her mind to, just like exactly how she thought that Leonardo could do anything that he put his mind to. And it, I think, validates for her also that she is right in doing that, because Leonardo starts going in and tries to learn everything that he can from her. And I think that that's really cool, because even though, like, just in her society, like in the 21st century, like teenagers kind of get overlooked, not necessarily all the time, but like stereotypes kind of take over. And I think it's really cool that Leonardo's like thinking of her as this person who has so much knowledge and someone that he can learn so much from. And I think it's important. It's an important thing to realize that, like, just to get a different perspective and to acknowledge, like, the perspectives of teenagers and kids who, you know.
I know.
Yes.
Robin.
You know what was interesting? I'll just add this, John.
Yes.
One thing that was interesting to me in learning more about, you know, Florence, Italy, there was no Italy, but Florentine society in the 15th century, is that there was no such thing as teenagerhood, if you were. I mean, Leonardo was apprenticed to an artist at a very young age, as most kids were. So people were taken as people, not as, you know, teens being a separate category of, oh, well, they don't know much yet. And there was definitely a more of a give and take, I think, between generations than maybe we are allowed to interact with today.
I agree there. I think if I were to distill one of the messages that comes through very strongly in your books and in your writing, Robin, it's that you tend to release the reader into all the myriad of possibilities there are, rather than confront someone who's growing up and exploring and learning to find themselves kind of restricted from going down this path or that path.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the fun things that I've been, outcomes that I've been having with writing these books is there are no expectations, because first of all, who do we know who's time traveled back 500 years in real life? Although maybe that's happened, I wouldn't rule it out. But it really opened up a world for me to kind of play with and say, you know, if this did happen, what would you want to know? What would you be curious about? And how would you engage with people who were in that society who had no idea what you were talking about, really?
I love that. Kylie, you've done a really good job of allowing yourself to explore, to try, to sample, to just see, you know, you're kind of like, you are at that huge buffet of life and say, ooh, that looks different. Let's try that. And you do.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, when am I ever going to have a chance where everything's just kind of sitting in front of me and I just have all these opportunities that I should just take advantage of now, you know?
Boy, I feel sorry for the kids that they're 5 years old and their parents have already determined their life path and things like that. Thank goodness for thinkers like Robin Stevens Pays, who creates these books that encourages the openness to think about, explore everything. You never know where that path really could be. Edgeofyesterday.com, by the way, is the website. You can get the books there. If you have a young adult reader, this is a great book to get for that person. Get them interested. In fact, you know, just can you leave the book sitting around somewhere. Just get a copy and just leave it there, and they'll pick it up and they'll just voraciously go after it. Robin, you have done a good job of, I think, re-energizing. Not that yours was ever kind of in any low energy to begin with, but re-energizing your inner child. And that, I think, is so important. There are so many quotes by famous people that talk about keeping the child within themselves very much alive as they grow older. Now, Kylie doesn't have to worry about that yet because she's still young. But that's an important lesson that I think your books let people adopt and embrace.
Yeah, I really, one thing that I've learned in studying Leonardo da Vinci's life to do the research that was necessary for these books, the first books in the series so far, is that Leonardo was curious about everything, and the way he learned was just by kind of following his nose. You know, he had the good fortune not to be to be illegitimate, and by that I mean he didn't have to go to school with everyone else in the aristocracy. So he kind of explored and looked in caves and just sat by rivers and saw how water turned, and because he had this artistic talent, he was sketching and making notes about all this all the way through. And so by looking at river currents, he speculated about air currents, and then he took those drawings that he made that looked like curls and put them into the Mona Lisa's hair. You know, it was like, what are you curious about? And how exciting is it that we get to ask those questions? Because that's where learning comes from. It's not, you know, necessarily sitting at a desk and listening to someone else teach you a lesson. It's about doing yourself and observing and seeing things differently through different eyes. And that's really the lesson I think Leonardo has, not just for teens and kids Kylie's age, but for us adults too.
Exactly. Kylie, think about this question while I give some more information. The question I want you to respond to is, think about one of the more recent aha moments, something new you've discovered or thought, wow, that's really neat. Because what I want to share with these folks first is go to the website edgeofyesterday.com. You can learn so much more about what Robin Stevens Pays is doing. I almost feel like this is a quest of yours, a good quest. And so many people are benefiting thanks to your writing. And I can't wait to see the Edge of Yesterday series expand from the two books it's at now into dozens of books that will just be voraciously consumed. And pretty soon, you know, maybe it will be the teen readers who will be passing along to their adults and getting them to think more like kids. But
that would be great. That would be great.
What about those aha moments? Think about something that has happened here fairly recently for you, Kylie.
I think something I didn't really know until, or didn't really realize until recently, is just that you have to make sure that you're taking advantage of all the opportunities. I know I've been talking about this like the entire time, but just, I think it's really important to not necessarily become a jack of all trades, but to, like, you have to really learn around to know what you like. And what, one of the problems with setting kids on a career, or not on a career path necessarily, but specializing them so at such a young age, it's kind of difficult and somewhat dangerous because you don't know if they're going to actually enjoy it. And I think it's important to let kids explore and try things out and really let them determine what it is that they want to do, and like just allow kids to use their creative imaginations and really work for themselves, you know?
Well, like, I know the high school you attend, and one thing I applaud with the entire school culture there is that I do feel that the Roosevelt High School does encourage all of its students to take chances, not, you know, life-threatening risks or anything dumb like that, but try new things, experiment things. If they stub their toes mentally along the way, so be it, because that stub will heal. But they're given freedom to try new things without worrying, oh God, what's Charlie going to think about that? Or what's Susie going to think about that? Or something like that. It's just like you're in a free environment for that exploration.
Of course, absolutely. I think one of the best things about Roosevelt and also about Central and Central Campus is that they have classes that allow you to try out film and broadcasting, or to try out art, or different subsects, or like subsections of music, and to really explore the whole thing and do it in a very welcoming environment where you know you aren't going to be judged or mocked for what you're doing, and where they actually want you to do as much as you possibly can.
And see, intuitively, that's why I wanted you to be part of this conversation, because that comes right back to you, Robin, so well, because I do feel that that is kind of a core message that is driven through the edge of yesterday's series.
Absolutely. And I'll add one more thing, you know, kind of to your comment, Kylie, about experimenting while you're young. I would say that is going to be ever more true for your generation and subsequent generations in life, because you don't know what world you're coming into, and the rate of change is so fast, you're going to have to reinvent yourself maybe even five times in your adult lifehood. So how do you do that if you don't have a good, well-rounded basis for what you know you can tap into, how you learn through life? So my message is not just geared to teens, although teens are the readers who I think will like this the best, but it's really about learning to learn through the lifespan. So trying new things now is going to make you more resilient later on, because that's the world you're coming into, I'm afraid, for better or worse.
Amen.
I hope for better. I hope for better.
Well, they will make it better. I have no doubt in my life, because that's where my sense of the future lies, is in my belief of what this next generation will bring to the world. Kylie Benesch, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule, because I know it is busy. Folks, go to edgeofyesterday.com. Learn more about Robin Stevens Pay's first book, The Edge of Yesterday, and it's the Edge of Yesterday series that now has Da Vinci's Way in there. And I think I'll wrap things up by simply listing something that Robin shares on her website. Da Vinci's key to universal learning is math plus arts plus sciences plus technology plus engineering plus reflection plus storytelling yarns equals mastery. And folks, always keep that curiosity flame burning bright within yourself, and help others help themselves. You will see much more of Kylie as she grows up and spreads her wings. She will be soaring, I promise you that. And keep in touch with what Robin Stevens Pays is doing through edgeofyesterday.com. Both of you, thank you so much for your time.
Of course.
Thank you, John. This has been great. I've enjoyed it. Happy to meet you, Kylie.
Thanks. Yeah, nice
keep
to meet
up,
you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.